But really is great to be with you all this morning and really excited about this morning. I'm excited every morning that we're able to gather together and to sit under the preaching of the Word, because the Word of the Lord is powerful and it's effective. And so Isaiah speaks in Isaiah 55 about the Word of the Lord, that it achieves the purpose for which it is sent and will not return void. In other words, it will not return empty. So every time God's word is preached, every time God speaks to us through his word, it's purposeful. There's an intent that God has that his word, as it is spoken, whether it's delivered by a preacher or if it comes in any other form or as we read it, it has an effect upon the heart and the life of the hearer who reads it. Amen? So we should be excited about God's word when we have an opportunity to hear it, to read it, and to listen to it from whoever it comes. Even if it's delivered in a stuttering way, it is still powerful because it's his word. Amen? I'm not going to stutter through the word this morning. But there's just this golden thread this morning that came through the prayer meeting. There's this golden thread that we picked up in the brief time of worship. And there's this golden thread through the word this morning that we're going to look at, where God is wanting to give hope to his people. He's wanting to give us hope today. And so wherever you find yourself, you might be right at the very cutting edge of God's plan and purpose, serving him, sold out, passionate for him, or you could have just come in this morning totally discouraged, without hope. God is saying this morning that my word can give you hope. So he's wanting to encourage the encouraged, and he's wanting to encourage the discouraged this morning, wherever you find yourself. That's a wonder of God's truth. He speaks to us wherever we're at. And he speaks to us in the context this morning of wanting to give us hope. So please turn to the book of Ezekiel, and we're going to read a big chunk of chapter 1, the first 14 verses together. Then we're going to trust that God is going to do something through his word in our hearts and our lives this morning. And I'm just going to, as I read it, I'm going to reference a few things. But the context of Ezekiel chapter 37, God is speaking to a nation that has lost hope, speaking to a nation that is discouraged. He's speaking to a nation that has been humiliated. He's speaking in the context of Israel being taken into exile, and they're in a very tough place. And he speaks these words through the prophet Ezekiel. And so he takes Ezekiel in the spirit, he gives him a vision. And he says, I'm going to speak to you through this vision, and it's going to have an impact on your here and now for the people of Israel. So we position ourselves this morning as we hear this word as a people who need to hear the voice of God, hear the word of God, to have encouragement from the Father. But what's also, I trust, going to happen this morning is that God is going to speak through other people just into aspects of our lives that will give us hope where we need hope. But verse 1, this is a context, a nation discouraged, a nation without hope, a nation who have faced some humiliation. And Ezekiel writes, and he says, the hand of the Lord was on me. So in other words, he's saying, what you're about to hear has come from the throne room of heaven. This is not just the after effects of the pizza I ate last night. This word I'm about to deliver has come from God, from himself. His hand is upon me. His spirit is speaking through me. And he brought me out by the spirit of the Lord, and he set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. So the vision he has in the spirit, hearing from God, seeing what God is speaking to him in a moment, he's seen that he's in a valley full of bones. And so this valley full of bones, just to give us a context, this valley of bones, dry bones, which we'll look at now, is a picture of an army that has been defeated in battle. So the vision he has is of skeletons, bones of what once was a soldier or soldiers scattered across the valley. The bones are dry. The bones are sunburned. They're sunbleached. And this army was defeated in battle. And so it was a practice of Israel's enemies to, when they kill Jews, is that they wouldn't bury them because it was a sign of humiliation. If a Jew died, the custom was, the tradition was, that the body would be washed, would be covered, and would be placed in a grave or a tomb. So this picture that Ezekiel has is one of an army that's been greatly humiliated. The bodies have been left out under the sun, and the wild animals have had their fill. And over time, flesh is gone, and it's just a skeleton of soldiers that remains. That's the context. He led me back and forth, verse 2, amongst them. And I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" Now, in the natural, they can't live. In the natural, they can't live. There's no flesh, there's no sinew, there's no life. It's bones, it's just dry bones. I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." I just love what Ezekiel does as he places himself under the authority of God. He says, I don't know, but you know. So in other words, he's saying, actually, maybe I don't think they can, but my faith and my hope is in you. I'm looking to you in this moment. Then he said to me, interesting how he uses man to speak life. He says to Ezekiel, verse 4, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And I just have a sense this morning, and we're giving space this morning for us, maybe we can identify with this portion of text in our own lives. And there's something of a dryness, there's something of a barrenness, there's something of the life of God that's disappeared in our life. And I believe God is saying to us this morning, take note, because I'm wanting to give you hope this morning. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. If you're sitting here this morning, you say, identify with this picture. That's me. My life is one of dry bones. It's of lack of life, barrenness. Hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath into you, and you will come to life. And so the agency, the activation of this power that brings life is actually resident in God. He who created the heavens and the earth, he is able to bring life where there's death. So it's impossible for man to bring these dead bones back to life. But God says, I see that, and I can do something about that. And maybe this morning you're sitting here and you say, well, has God noticed me? I'm wanting to say God has. And this word this morning, he says, I know your life. I know what you're going through. I know the emptiness, the barrenness, the hopelessness. And I'm wanting to bring hope to you. But do you see it? Do you see it for your own life this morning? The sovereign Lord says to these bones, I will make breath into you and you will come to life. Verse 6, I'll attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise. Now, can you imagine? This wasn't just a few bones. This was an army defeated. So there were skeletons. There were bones scattered all over the place. And so the thigh bone belonging to Nick van Rensburg had to find Nick van Rensburg's ribcage somewhere in that valley and be attached to it. The head belonging to Brad Wood had to go and find the other parts of Brad Wood and get it. And so there's this racket that's happening as parts find parts. A God of order. It's beautiful. He doesn't just haphazardly say, chip, chip. The parts that belong to that body when it was whole and active and living, they find each other. Beautiful picture, eh? So now we just read, there was a noise. There was more than a noise. There was order. There was a noise, a rattling sound. Some of us, the older ones in that army, probably rattled more than the younger ones. But anyway. I don't know what category I'll fall into, but maybe somewhere in the middle. There was a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. So it's not like one of these freak shows where, you know, where the leg gets attached to the shoulder socket. Comes together in perfect order, perfect harmony, as it was when God created that body. The bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Here's an interesting aspect, is that covered, so they looked whole. They looked normal, but they were sleeping. It looked like they were sleeping, like somebody had covered, like fast asleep, because there was no breath in them. And so there's two pictures that we get as we look at this portion of Scripture, is that there are bones sun-bleached, dry, dead, no life. There's another picture, looking alive, but actually dead. And maybe this morning, as we're sharing and as words come, you might be able to identify with one of those two pictures. Maybe I'm in this camp or maybe I'm in that camp. Then he said to me, remember, he said, prophesy, firstly. He said, prophesy, and there was a noise, the bones came together. Second word, prophesy, life came. He said, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it. He's actually saying, why don't you prophesy the life of God into those bodies? Prophesy the life of God into those bodies. Prophesy the purpose of God into those bodies. Prophesy the plans of God into those bodies. Prophesy the calling of God into those bodies. And say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come, breath from the four winds, breathe into the slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life. They came to life. They came to life, and they stood as a vast army, restored. Restored to original purpose, restored to original plan in God. They were created to be soldiers, restored to what God had intended when he created them. And maybe this morning, God said, I'm wanting to restore to you the purpose for which I created you. I wanted to restore you to the plan and the purpose for which I've called you. It's very interesting that this army was defeated because of their rebellion and their disobedience. That's why they found themselves humiliated and defeated in that valley. And that was actually prophesied by Jeremiah, in fact. If you go and read Jeremiah, I think it's chapter 10, thereabouts. That very word was prophesied, where God says, because of your disobedience, you're going to be in the valley and the birds of the air are going to eat your flesh. Verse 11, then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Maybe this morning you're sitting here and you're saying, where is God in my life? Has he heard my cry? Is he concerned about me? Susie, come up and share that word, please. We can just have the mic. Thanks, Brad. We've invited a few folk earlier this week just to spend. I gave them this text. And these are men and women that we trust. And we said, just pray. See if the Lord gives you, like he gave Ezekiel, a word to encourage us this morning. And so they've been praying, seeking the heart of God. And so if you're unfamiliar with what is about to happen, it's perfectly natural. It's in the Bible. It's normal. It's a normal way of walking life with God. And so if you read the Bible, you'll see at times that God speaks to people, speaks to individuals through other men and women. And so they're just the vehicle. They're just the instrument. They're just the means to carry God's voice into our hearts. So if you haven't before been exposed to prophetic voices, this morning you're going to experience that. And it's perfectly natural and normal. So Susie has been praying for us. And she's got a word to encourage us this morning.
Morning, everyone. I just felt Romans chapter 5, verse 5. And it just says, and hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love on us. And I just felt there are people here that feel like he's forsaken you. And his word says, I have not forsaken you. I will never leave you. And that word forsake means to leave entirely in your time of need. And I just feel God is saying, I have not left you. I promise I will never, ever leave you in your time of need. And then just in regards to hope, that his word sustains our hope. And we choose to look to the unseen and not what is around us and the circumstances around us. And we choose life and we choose hope. We will get to the other side, which is eternity and his love and his glory.
Thank you, Susie. Just read verse 11 again. They say, maybe this morning, we are saying, our bones are dried up. Our hope is gone. We are cut off. Very interesting. God says then to Ezekiel, he says, prophesy, prophesy, prophesy into that hopelessness. Prophesy into that lack of faith. Prophesy into that rebellion. Prophesy into that disobedience. And say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. My people. It's amazing. Isn't it amazing that God identifies with us in that place? And he says, you are still my people. Love of the Father expressed. My people. I'm going to open your graves. I'm going to bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open up your graves and I bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you. You will live. I will put my spirit in you. You will live. And I will settle you in your own land. So in this context for Israel, it was the land of promise that he promised that he would give them, the land of the inheritance. And for us, it would represent many different things. He says, then you will know. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it, declares the Lord.